Over the last several years, what we've been trying to do is take the month of January, or at least part of the month of January, to focus particularly to remind us as we turn the calendar, as we go enter into a new year, to remind ourselves of the spiritual habits, of the spiritual, sometimes we call them spiritual disciplines, sometimes we call them relational habits. All of this is really focused in one direction, and that is to remind us that what God wants most from you is relationship. What God wants most from us is relationship with Himself. This is why He made us. We were seeing that in the story of Genesis. God made humankind for relationship with Himself. This is why Jesus died for us, to restore the relationship that got broken because of sin. And so we want to remind ourselves each year as we come to this January, new season, new year, new ideas, paying attention to the rhythm of our lives, the practices of our lives. We want to remind ourselves of the importance of paying attention to our relationship with God. And in particular, this is the title we've given to this series this January, is Enjoying Relationship with God. Because God invites us to this relationship, and it's His desire that we would take delight in Him. Jesus said, it's my prayer that my joy will be in you and that your joy will be full. Jesus invites us. Jesus makes it possible for us to have this relationship with God, and His desire is that we would be full of joy as we pay attention to who God is and what He's done for us, and as we receive the fullness of His life in us, that we would find great joy and great delight in this. And so we're really trying to pay attention to this idea of taking joy in our relationship with God. 2 weeks ago, it was December 31st, and we talked about this theme of opening our hearts to God, opening our lives to God. And I used this picture at the end of our time together, this picture, which is really an invitation from Jesus to all of us, comes right towards the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, and this is a very kind of iconic picture, one that's been used many times to represent this beautiful invitation from Jesus as He says to us, "Here I am." This is Jesus, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead to give us life. And now He says to you and He says to me, "Here I am. I'm standing at the door. I'm standing at the door of your life. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and then eat with that person and that person with me." Imagine, just try to imagine the kind of relationship that Jesus wants with you as you see this picture, as you hear these words. It's a relationship of sharing life together over a meal, right? Sharing life together. You talk about your feelings, you talk about what's going on, you just enjoy life with our friends and family around a meal. This is the kind of relationship Jesus is looking for with us. And this is one artist's imagination of it. As I was thinking about it this week, I was wondering if there's another way to picture this invitation from Jesus. And I came across this picture. Maybe we need to picture Jesus like a husband coming home with a rose behind his back for his bride. This is a picture of Jesus and the kind of relationship that He wants with us. We are called the bride of Christ. And He longs to love you, and He longs for you to love Him. And He wants to sit around a candlelit dinner with you and share life together. This January series, we're calling this a four-part study, reminding us to rekindle our spiritual passion through healthy practices in four areas. That's the kind of subtitle of our series here, reminding us to rekindle our spiritual passion. It's a little warmer in this room than last week, am I correct? If you were here last week, it was pretty cold in here. Do you know why it's warmer in here? Because someone kindled the coal out back. Right? They rekindled the coal. The pechka is working. and we have some heat in this room. It's our desire as we go through this month that we would think about our relationship with God, and that we would rekindle the fire of relationship. How do we do that? Well, we believe that there's many ways, but the four ways that we're choosing. Last week we looked at the Word. We need to pay attention to our practices in and around the Word, because this is the Word of life to us from God. And so we pay attention to this Word. We spend time in this Word. We don't just come on Sundays to listen to this Word, but we learn to find Jesus in this Word. We learn to read, to absorb, to take it in, to spend time every day in this Word. Marcus led us through the importance of the Word last week as we talked about it. There's a beautiful verse Martha and I were reading in the Psalms recently. The whole book of Psalms opens with these words: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose what? Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. God wants us to find delight in these words that He's given to us. Are you finding delight in the Word? We need to remind ourselves. These words won't be on the screen, but Psalm 19 picks up the same idea. It says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. They're giving light to the eyes. They are more precious than gold, than pure gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And so the challenge last week was, are you spending time every day absorbing this Word into your heart, into your soul? I wonder if you took that challenge on. Today we come to the idea of prayer. I'm going to talk about habits of prayer today. The next 2 weeks are going to be like this. Next week we want to look at the idea of Sabbath, the idea of the rhythm of life, rest and work, rest and work. And then finally on January 28th, we'll look at this idea of community, this idea of sharing life together in the body of Christ. So here's our question for today. Our question for today is this: how can we rekindle our spiritual passion, rekindle our sense of excitement about our relationship with God, our loving relationship with Jesus through prayer? Prayer. I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear this word, prayer. More specifically, I wonder what words would best describe your feelings about prayer as you think about this idea of prayer right now. What feelings come to your heart? As followers of Jesus, I think we have sometimes very mixed feelings when we hear prayer, when we hear talks about prayer, when we try to think about what prayer is. Perhaps we feel guilty because maybe we don't feel like we pray enough, or maybe we don't know how to pray. Perhaps we feel joy, and it's my prayer that in our community that some of us would be finding great joy in our prayer lives, and that we would learn from each other as we share ideas about prayer. That's what I hope we can do this morning. But oftentimes I think, as we think about this idea of prayer and what it is and what we should do and what we think we should do, sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we feel uncertain about how to pray. And I come to you this morning not as an expert on prayer, but as a fellow learner, as a fellow sojourner, as someone who is seeking to understand more of what prayer is, in particular the practice of prayer in my own life, so that I have this sense of relationship with Jesus that He longs to have with me. I would like to take us to two places this morning. The first, I would like to take us to a core passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture which has meant a lot to me when I think about this idea of prayer, and I hope it will encourage and challenge your soul as well. And then I also want us to notice that there are other people who have written about prayer. And so I brought some companions along with me this morning, and I just want to share a few thoughts of that some other people have written about prayer. Many, many books of prayer have been written. Some of them have been very helpful for me. And what I would love to do is to give us together a sense of opening our hearts to this passage of Scripture, and then also hearing what some other people are saying to encourage us to think about prayer in a way that helps us to restore this sense of active, joy-filled relationship with Jesus. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look especially at verses 5 through 13, but Matthew chapter 6 is partway through the Sermon on the Mount as we know it, as Jesus is teaching the folks as he's sitting on this mountainside. At the very beginning of chapter 6, he says this: "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So he's talking about how do we practice righteousness? How do we practice this relationship with God? And he has a number of areas that he covers. But beginning in verse 5, he begins to talk about this idea of prayer. If you were here 2 years ago, we spent a whole month in this passage. And I want to say that in 2016, when we spent that month in this passage, it really changed me. It changed my thinking. It really came alive to me. We're going to just consider it briefly this morning. Let me invite you as we read to pay attention to the words. This is Jesus talking about this idea of prayer. He's teaching us how to pray. And so we begin Matthew 6, verse 5. "And when you pray," Jesus says, "do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Just look at those words for a moment. What is prayer not, according to Jesus? Prayer is not about show. Prayer is not something to be done so that I look spiritual. It's something different. Let's read verse 6. "When you pray," Jesus says, "go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Just pay attention to those words for a moment. What is prayer? It's going into this quiet place. And who's in that quiet place? It's just me and the God of the whole universe. What an amazing concept. Verse 7. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So again, what do we see what prayer is not? It's not a religious ritual. It's not us trying to get God's attention. No. It's about being. It's about being in the presence of a loving Father who knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking, knows what you're anxious about, knows what you're worried about, knows what your health problems are, knows what your problems of your family is. Go there. Jesus says, in that space where it's just you and God. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, "This then," in verse 9, "this then is how you should pray." And then Jesus gives us this model prayer, this prayer that we've often called the Lord's Prayer. Some people notice that it's probably more accurately called the disciples' prayer, because this is what he gives us as a model. We often say it together, so let's say it together now. These are as it's recorded in Matthew. We say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We spent a month in this prayer 2 years ago. Let's just briefly observe it as in its structure begins with addressing who we are with, our Father. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, you are the holy God of the universe. And God, let your kingdom come. Let your life come into mine. Let your life come into our earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have needs every day. God, would you give us food for today? And we need forgiveness. So where we have fallen down, would you forgive us? Even as I receive this forgiveness and I turn to my brothers and my sisters who have wronged me, may I also forgive them. And God, this world is so full of distraction and temptation. Lord, deliver us from the evil one. There's so much richness in these words. Let me make two observations. The first observation I would like to make from this passage is that prayer is an unimaginable privilege. We are invited into the very presence of God. And Jesus says, when you pray, just go into your room. It's not going to some religious building. Go into your room, close the door, and there you will find the God who loves you, who died for you, who is the creator of everything that exists. He is there with you in that space. This is prayer. It's an unimaginable privilege that we have. I don't know about you, but I sometimes wonder, why do I find it so hard to pray? Perhaps because I don't really understand what it is. It's this immense privilege that our Father invites us to just come and talk to Him. Talk to Him about life. As if we're sitting around a table, enjoying a meal together. Talk about what happened this week. Talk about what's going on in your soul. Talk about what's going on in your family. Listen to what He has to say. Prayer is this amazing, amazing privilege. The second observation I want to make from all of the words that Jesus uses, I want us to pay attention to the fact that prayer is relationship. Prayer is not outward show. Prayer is not a religious ritual. Prayer is not a way of getting God's attention. It's a relationship with a loving Father who knows what we need before we ask Him. This is what prayer is, according to Jesus. It's relationship. And so we come back to our question, how can we rekindle this spiritual passion as we begin this new year? How can we rekindle this loving relationship with Jesus through prayer? Well, I hope, first of all, that we hear from the words of Jesus that prayer is an unimaginable privilege, that it's relationship with Him, that we're invited into the very presence of God. As we talk about prayer together and as we seek together to understand and to grow in our understanding of prayer, I would like to share some of the resources, some of the companions on this journey that have helped me, because there are many people, as I said, that have written about prayer. And some of them are very helpful. And I just want to make some recommendations. And you know of many other books on prayer. Let's talk together about these things and learn together from each other. 2 weeks ago, I made mention of this book, Opening to God, by David Benner. And I made this quote. I'd like to repeat the quote that I read 2 weeks ago. Listen to how David Benner opens this book, this idea of opening our lives to God. Listen to what he says. Just imagine how different your life would be if moment by moment you were constantly open to God. Think of how much your experience of yourself and others and the world would change if you were continuously attuned to the loving presence of God, and if you allowed the life of God to flow into and through you with each breath. Such a life would itself be prayer. For, as we shall see, prayer is not simply words that we offer when we speak to God, but it is an opening of ourself to God. The subtitle of this book is Lectio Divina, which is a particular kind of prayer, particular kind of reading of Scripture. Lectio Divina and Life as Prayer is the subtitle of David Benner's book. He spends a lot of time just talking about how it is that we can, in our lives day by day, more and more open ourselves to God so that it's His life through us that we are living, and not living in a way that's closed to Him, in a way that's full of ourselves, but in a way that's full of His life in us. A second book, which I've also mentioned here in years gone by, a couple of years ago, maybe longer, but this book I came across called The Papa Prayer by Larry Crabb was a read which really affected my thinking about prayer. Larry Crabb is an author, Christian author, and a Christian psychologist whom you may have heard of. He's written many books on Christian counseling. This book he's written as he is approaching his 70s, and he's really discovered later in his life this new way of praying for him that he has called the Papa Prayer. At the very beginning of that book, I was really struck with a quote. This is even before the introduction, right, in just the flyleaf, the early part of the book. Larry Crabb quotes from George MacDonald, who was a Scottish writer and poet and fantasy writer, Christian minister in the 19th century, late 19th century, I believe. Listen to the questions, this question which George MacDonald raises and then answers, and how he describes prayer. This is the question, which may be a question that you've had. But if God is so good as you represent Him, and if He knows all that we need, and better far than we do ourselves, why should it be necessary to ask Him for anything? I wonder if you've ever had that question. Question from George MacDonald. Here's his answer. I answer, what if He, that is God, what if He knows prayer to be the thing we need first and most? What if the main object in God's idea of prayer be the supplying of our great and our endless need, the need of Himself? Hunger may drive the runaway child home, and he may or may not be fed at once, but he needs his mother more than his dinner. Communion with God is the one need of the soul beyond all other need. Prayer is the beginning of that communion, and some need is the motive of that prayer. So begins a communion. A talking with God, a coming to one with Him, which is the sole end of prayer. I think those are pretty profound words from George MacDonald. I hope they help to shape your ideas of prayer. Larry Crabb, as he goes on in his book, he outlines why he calls it a Papa Prayer. P-A-P-A is an acronym, stands for these points that he's made, these steps that have become alive to Larry Crabb in his practice of prayer. He says the first thing we should do is present ourselves to God. Present ourselves to God without pretense. So it's this idea of going into your room by yourself with God. Who are you going to impress in that room? There's nobody there but you and God, right? So it's presenting, you're opening yourself, this idea of opening yourself to God without pretense. A, attend to how you're thinking of God. And here is where we need the Word, because we need a biblical view of God. We need to be careful not to worship a God that we just made up in our imagination. We need to read the Word. We need to hear His Word into our hearts, into our souls, so that we're sure to be worshiping and talking with the God of the Bible, not a God of our imagination. The second P is to purge yourself of anything blocking your relationship with God. This is confession. This is an honest acknowledgement of the things that we have done that have been turned our attention away from Him. And then the second A, approach God as the first thing in your life. And so often we've talked about this, that idols are anything that take the first place in our lives that it isn't God. So Larry Crabb reminds us that in order to have this connection with God, we need to make sure He's the first in our lives, that something else hasn't crept up and taken that first place. Another book several years ago that that helped me a lot is a book by Timothy Keller, simply called Prayer, Experiencing the Awe and Intimacy with God. Let me just take one quote from Keller's words. It's quite a thick volume. It's a very deep and thoughtful presentation on this whole idea of prayer and honest wrestling with the issue. Tim Keller says this: prayer is the only entryway into genuine self-knowledge. So how do we come to know ourselves? We only come to know ourselves in light of who God is and how He's made us to be. And so prayer is this only entryway into genuine self-knowledge. It's also the main way we experience deep change. It's the reordering of our loves. It's helping us to put God in that very first place again in our lives. Prayer is how God gives us so many of the unimaginable things He has for us. Indeed, prayer makes it safe for God to give us many of the things we most desire. It is the way we know God. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. All of these authors have helped me to realize that prayer is not an optional extra for me in my relationship with Jesus. Prayer is my relationship with Jesus. And so we need to pay attention to how we're living that out in our lives. Another smaller, helpful book for me in the last few years has been Eugene Peterson, Answering God. And this is a book with a subtitle that says, The Psalms as Tools for Prayer. The Psalms as Tools for Prayer. Eugene Peterson, again, is a helpful author in many areas. Let me just read some of what he says at the beginning of his book. He says, prayers are tools, but with this clarification, prayers are not tools for doing or getting, but prayers are for being and becoming. You catch the difference there? It's not for doing and getting, but it's for being and becoming. At the center of the whole enterprise of being human, prayers are the primary technology. Prayers are tools that God uses to work His will in our bodies and souls. Prayers are tools that we use to collaborate in His work with us. All right? So it's this idea again, similar ideas of opening ourselves to God, allowing His life to come and fill us. I would like to recommend that in our conversations together, even today, perhaps, even in coffee time, just to talk about and say, how does prayer work for you? How do you feel about prayer right now in your life? How healthy is it? What resources have you read lately that would be helpful? There's many other resources beyond these ones. These are simply some that I have found helpful and I wanted to share with you. If you are interested in borrowing one of these books, I have a piece of paper you can sign in blood with the promise of returning. You can borrow, all right? And so if you would like to, you're welcome to. And but let's share resources, let's share ideas, let's talk about how we can encourage one another to rekindle our spiritual passion with Jesus by praying, by understanding prayer at a deeper, richer level in our life experience. So we come back to our question again, how can we rekindle this spiritual passion, this loving relationship with Jesus? Well, from Matthew, we learned that prayer is an unimaginable privilege. We are invited into God's very presence. We're invited to live there, in fact. And so we open our lives to Him. We receive His life into us. And by remembering that prayer is relationship, it's not a religious ritual. And then from our companions here, we look for good, stimulating resources to be inspired by others who think carefully about prayer and who read and who write, and also by talking together and practicing together. I'm very grateful to God for the increased emphasis in prayer over the last year here at ICB, and it is my desire that I would continue to grow in my understanding of prayer, and that together as a community, that prayer would become more and more of who we are. A final thought I would like to share. Keller, in his book, has this quote. He says that J.I. Packer and Carolyn Nystrom's book on prayer has a subtitle that sums all of this discussion up nicely. The subtitle of this particular book is this: Finding Our Way Through Duty to Delight. Because here's the thing about prayer. Prayer, like many other practices, is something that we just need to do, right? So sometimes it just requires us to do it. And sometimes that feels like a duty. But in Packer and Nystrom's book is this idea that we move through duty, and what we discover in doing prayer is this beauty of relationship with Jesus. That's my prayer, that we would learn how to really enjoy, really find this, the heart of joy and delight in relationship with God. As in increasing ways, we find ways to pray personally, together, for each other, with each other. May our spiritual passion be rekindled in this way. Father God, thank you so much for the gift of life that you've given us. Thank you so much for this passage in Matthew. Thank you, Jesus, for the words which are so clear as you speak to us, as you give us these words. May we receive them in our hearts. May we be reminded of the privilege that we have of relationship with you. May we be reminded that this privilege is only because of what you did for us. Jesus, you died. You paid the price for our sin so that our relationship with you could be restored. So help us, God, to value that relationship and to engage that relationship and to find joy in relationship with you this week. May we know that you are with us. May we open our hearts to you and receive from you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.